The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Najagbele Ago.
In the headlines, 26 more deputy ministerial nominees announced. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation commended for supporting Ghana's health sector. $750 million Etiabu gas processing plant, 60% complete. Human Rights Watch says displaced Somalians suffer sexual abuse, and Pope Francis rejects PayPal apartment for two-room residents. But first, the summary with Najagbele Ago.
26 more names have been released by President Mahama for deputy ministerial positions. In a statement by the Executive Secretary to the President, Raymond Atiguba, some of the nominees include Ebenezer Okletete-Labi, Ministry of Defense, Jifago Machine, Ministry of Tourism, Culture and Creative Arts, and James Agalga for the Ministry of the Interior. The co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have been commended for supporting Ghana's public health care system. President Mahama, who gave the commendation, said he is grateful to the foundation for its support to the school feeding program, the fight against malaria and maternal health care. President Mahama said this when he received Mr. Gates at the Flagstaff House in Accra. The $75 million Etiabu gas processing plant in the Lembele district of the Western Region is 60% complete, laying of the 110-kilometer onshore pipeline to transport processed gas from Etiabu to Abuazi thermal plant is also expected to end by the first quarter of this year. The Director of Projects Management of Ghana Gas, Mr. Sunuata, disclosed this when some members of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Mines and Energy, accompanied by the Minister for Petroleum and Energy, Emmanuel Amakboa, visited the project site. And Pope Francis has rejected a ground papal apartment at the Vatican Apostolic Palace for a modest two-room residence. In doing so, he has broken a tradition which is more than a century old. His spokesman said the Pope is trying out this type of simple living in a communal building with other priests.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. President John Mahama has, in accordance with Article 79 of the 1992 Constitution, nominated 26 more deputy ministers. They are Ricketts Kwekuhegan, Ministry of Finance, Ebenezer Okletete-Labi, Ministry of Defense, Ibrahim Mutala Mohammed for Information and Media Relations, Joseph Yamin for Youth and Sports. The rest are Dr. Tia Sugri, Ministry of Health, Alex Cherme, Ministry of Education, Yao Ifabefi for the Ministry of Lands and Natural Resources, Edwin Neil Antivandapoy for Ministry of Trade and Industry, and Victoria Hammer, Ministry of Communications. The list also includes James Agalga, Ministry of the Interior, Samson Ahi and Vincent Oponga-Samoa for the Ministry of Water Resources, Works and Housing. The Ministry of Food and Agriculture has Dr. Alhassan Ahmed Yakubu and Dr. Hannah Louisa Bisiu. Benjamin Dagadu and John Abdullahi Jinapo going to the Ministry of Energy and Petroleum. John Alexander Akon, Ministry of Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs. Isaac J. Mensah, Ministry of Roads and Highways. Mohamed Baba Jamal for Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development. Jifago Mashi, Ministry of Tourism and Culture and Creative Arts. Nchubuesi Akusetre, Ministry of Employment and Labor Relations. Dr. Mushebu Mohammed Alfa, Ministry of Environment, Science and Technology and Innovation. Aquinas Mensah, Ministry of Fisheries and Aquaculture Development, while Benita Okitibia and Rachel Florence Apo go to the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection. A statement signed by Executive Secretary to the President, Raymond Atuguba, says the President has also nominated ABA Fuseni as Deputy Northern Regional Minister Designate.
President John Dramani Mahama has commended the co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Bill Gates, for his immense support to Ghana's public health care system, especially in the area of HIV and AIDS. The President said this when he received Mr. Gates at Flagstaff House in Accra. Bill Gates is on a private visit to Ghana to assess the impact of various health related interventions being implemented by government. The president was also grateful to the foundation for its support for the school feeding program and the fight against malaria and maternal health care. On interventions to tackle malaria, President Mahama stated that government is using new methods to tackle the parasite.
In the area of MDGs, yes, we're getting quite good support from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and in the school feeding program. You know, you have supported that. That has helped to improve nutrition of children at the rural level, especially in underprivileged communities. And it has also helped to increase school enrollment, because 1 meal a day in school is something that, you know, families look at to in some of the rural areas. And so it's helped to, one, improve the children's nutrition status, and three, help us reach the targets of, you know, universal primary enrollment. And so we are able to kill two birds with one stone.
Mr. Bill Gates pledged to support Ghana's health needs.
Well, this is my first trip to Ghana. I'm very excited to be here. I came particularly to learn about the Ghanaian health system and the great work it does in immunizing the children and use of data and training people very well. The health area is the primary focus of our foundation. And the great work here is an inspiration to us, something we want to help to support, and also learn how we can duplicate the good work in other areas. We support work in agriculture, sanitation, a number of others that I'm sure my trip here will help inform me about how we can be a good partner to the country of Ghana.
You heard the co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Bill Gates, in an interaction with President Mahama at Flagstaff House in Accra.
Still at the Flagstaff House, the Nigerian High Commissioner Ademola Oluseyi Onafunoka led a business delegation to call on President Mahama. Mr. Onafunoka called to congratulate the president and extend good wishes from Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan. On behalf of the private sector, the managing director of the UBA, Alaoba, was grateful for the favorable business environment. He pledged the support of Nigerian businessmen and the private sector to the Better Ghana agenda. He, however, placed some requests before government.
The registration of our technical management agreement, it takes a bit of time and cost. We would plead for Your Excellency for a bit of intervention in that area. We also appreciate Your Excellency's intervention in the expected quota that we are given. We think we can do more because the businesses are growing, while a lot of Ghanaians are under employment, a lot of businesses we are supporting. I would believe that some of these issues that can help us do more if they are looked into.
President Mahama acknowledged the role of the private sector in building a robust economy.
We want to integrate our economy across the whole of the sub-region and make the sub-region a seamless chain for our people to be able to move freely with goods and services. Now, even though us politicians have signed the protocol, there still are things that make it difficult for us to progress into a customs union and eventually into a free trade zone where people can do business without any obstacles. But I'm happy to see that the private sector has taken the lead and is probably dragging us politicians behind to recognize the reality of what is going on, that private sector organizations in our various countries are going across our borders and investing in neighboring West African countries, and that's a good sign.
President Mahama is expected to visit Nigeria early next month to deliver a lecture at Ekiti University, which conferred a doctorate degree on him last year. He will also hold discussions with President Goodluck Jonathan on the West African gas pipeline.
The Apostolic Nuncio to Ghana, Archbishop Leon Kalenga, has restated Ghana's position as the Star of Africa. The feat, he says, must be seriously guarded. Archbishop Kalenga said this when he called on the president at Flagstaff House to bid him farewell as he completes his term. He also extended warm greetings from Pope Francis to President Mahama. Also at the Flagstaff House on a similar mission, where the outgoing Indian High Commissioner Rajinder Bhagat and the country representative of UNICEF, Dr. Yabode Olusemi, a report by Pascaline Adadevo.
The outgoing apostolic nuncio, Archbishop Leo Kalenga, a Congolese, is the seventh nuncio to Ghana. He had served on diplomatic missions in Haiti, Zambia, Brazil, Egypt, and Zimbabwe. He now moves to El Salvador, South America. Archbishop Kalenga says he finds his five-year stay in Ghana exciting, having toured every nook and cranny of the country. He is of the view that President Mahama is a gift from God to the country because of his patience and good heart. He advised the president to always offer a listening ear to Ghanaians.
Being the first African nuncio appointed to Ghana has been for the people of this country a good surprise. And I received that welcome from the first day up to now. Mr. President, I can assure you that I never cease to believe that I am in my own country. And indeed, I feel at home. I will leave the country, yes, with pain, but also with joy, because behind me, I leave a president I come to know when we were vice president. We met many times. I appreciate really your aperture of spirit, your brotherhood, and humility, simplicity.
President Mahama said Ghana appreciates its relationship with the church in terms of development. He said government will strive to keep that commitment.
The Catholic Church and Ghana have a long history dating back, you know, from 1880 when the first mission in Cape Coast was established. Since then, the Catholic Church has been a partner with government in trying to provide the material needs of our people. The good thing about the church is it does not only concentrate on the spiritual well-being of its congregants, but it also looks at the material well-being of both its congregants and the general public in the area of health, in the area of education, in the area of, you know, even food supply, nutrition, food security, and so many other things the Catholic Church does. And so government wants to continue to partner with the church.
Also at Flagstaff House to bid the president's farewell was the Indian High Commissioner Rajinder Bhagat. His tenure saw a number of collaborative projects between Ghana and India. They include a $1.2 billion fertilizer processing plant, revamping of the defunct Commander Sugar Factory, a fisheries project, and tomato farm project at YND and Damongo. Mr. Bhagat said the delegation is due to arrive in Ghana early next month to oversee development at the tomato farms. President Mahama said Ghana will continue to strengthen bilateral agreements with India. He stated that the fertilizer project is a flagship one that will feed domestic needs and for export as well. It will also be critical for the running of the Ghana gas pipeline project. The country representative of UNICEF, Dr. Yabode Olusami, who was at Flagstaff House to also bid the president's farewell, commended Ghana's commitment to issues regarding children. She, however, advised the president not to lose focus on meeting the MDGs on children. Dr. Olusami also commended government on the removal of fuel subsidies and expansion of the Livelihood Empowerment Against Poverty Leap program.
UNICEF is saying that the government needs to ensure that we should not forget that there are still issues that we need to address. The whole area of stunting, for example, we haven't made much progress in Ghana, although we've made progress, but that is an area we need to focus on. Then, very importantly, the whole area of usage of salt iodization. It's a what you call hidden hunger, because it doesn't show, you know, except in the mental status of children. And the fact that when women do not use iodized salt, they have a lot of abortion. This is an area which Ghana could focus on. But because of the large number of small-scale salt industries, it's a big problem and needs a lot of monitoring. But with your efforts, I think you can overcome.
President Mahama said government believes in the future of children. This is partly the reason why the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection was set up. On the MDGs, he said government is coming out with an accelerated framework on maternal mortality. The same will be done for sanitation, a goal the country seems to be lagging behind.
Pascaline Adadevo reporting.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. 26 more deputy ministerial nominees announced. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation commended for supporting Ghana's health sector. $750 million Etiabo gas processing plant, 60% complete. Human Rights Watch says displaced Somalians suffer sexual abuse. And Pope Francis rejects people apartment for two-room residence. We are back after the short break.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. The initial phase of the $750 million Akwaibom Gas Processing Plant project in the Elembela district in the Western Region, which is being constructed by the Chinese engineering company Sinopec for the Ghana Gas Company, is 60% complete. Laying of the 110-kilometer onshore pipeline to transport processed gas from Atwabo to the Abwazi thermal plant in the Shama district, also in the Western Region, will end by the first quarter of this year for the evacuation of gas from the Jubilee field. The director of project management of Ghana Gas, Victor Kofi Sunwata, made this known when some members of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Mines and Energy, accompanied by the Minister of Petroleum and Energy, Emmanuelama Kufibua, visited the project site.
The Greater Accra Regional Health Directorate warns that the region may experience cholera outbreak as the rainy season approaches. This may be as a result of the current shortage of water, coupled with poor sanitary conditions in the Accra metropolis. In a statement signed by the regional director, Dr. Mrs. Linda Vanotu, the directorate appealed to Ghanaians to avoid as much as possible buying and eating cooked food which is exposed to dust and flies. They must also avoid unsafe water, eat food while hot, and keep the environment clean, among other hygienic measures. It's further advised that in case of diarrhea and vomiting, ORS or coconut water should be taken, after which the patient must report immediately to the nearest health facility.
A lecturer at the University of Ghana College of Health Sciences, Mrs. Lillian Ohinede, has urged the Ministry of Health and the Ghana Health Service to institute the deploy of mobile clinics to local communities as a means of extending healthcare delivery to the doorstep of the disadvantaged in society. She expressed optimism that the measure will facilitate the regular renewal of the health status and medical administration of the vulnerable, describing as alarming the current rate of healthcare challenges and family neglect of the aged in the country. Mrs. Ohinide made the suggestion when she led a team of final year nursing students and support staff of the university's nursing department to conduct medical screening and treatment for more than 200 older persons at Peki in the South Dying district of the Volta region. The exercise was organized under the auspices of the Shepherd Center of Aging Ghana. We bring you more.
Similar medical screening and treatment exercises have already been offered some vulnerable groups in the country, including inmates of correctional homes, orphanages, and the Nsawam medium prisons. At Peki, the medical team offered the aged diagnostic screening and treatment of chronic diseases such as hypertension, diabetes, as well as eye testing, breast examination, and healthcare education. Mrs. Ohinede urged the government and its relevant health agencies to initiate pragmatic measures in alleviating the plight of the aged in the country. She emphasized the need for regular education and medical checkup, especially for heart-related diseases, to avert stroke attacks or amputation as a result of diabetes. The executive director of Shepherd Center of Aging Ghana, Reverend Dr. Seth Agidi, expressed gratitude to the medical team for the exercise, describing it as an indispensable and stimulating novelty. He urged the municipal and district health directorates to extend their health services to the rural poor, adding that ensuring healthier and meaningful livelihood to the aged is a core objective of the center.
A news desk report.
Fake antimalarials and antibiotics top the list of counterfeit medicines on the African continent, with West Africa being the leading destination. According to a former vice president of the Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences, Professor Adai Mensa, this worrying trend calls for collaboration between countries on the continent in tackling the menace. Professor Adai Mensa was emphatic that no country can solely fight the canker. He was speaking at a two-day workshop on counterfeit medicines in Ghana, organized by the Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences in Accra.
Parliament has adopted the report of the Committee on Subsidiary Legislation that bans the export of ferrous scrap metals. By the adoption, the country hence bans the export of such metals. Presenting a report on ferrous scrap metals prohibition of export regulations 2013, LI2201, the chairman of the Committee on Subsidiary Legislation, Osei Bonsuamwa, said a ban on the exportation of ferrous scrap metals would ensure that local companies have the required quantities of scrap metals for their operations. This, he noted, will enhance the profitability of the companies and increase their capacity to create employment and reduce the foreign exchange expended on the importation of billets as raw materials for steel mills in the country. Our parliamentary correspondents, Dominic Nogi and Augustus Akui, have the details.
According to the chairman of the Committee on Subsidiary Legislation, Osei Bonsuamwa, research has shown that scrap generation in Ghana is enough to meet the demand of existing metal industries. In 2001, about 110,000 tons of scrap metal was found to be available in the country. Globally, ferrous metals are used for engineering purposes and for the manufacture of steel products such as cutting tools and cutlery, surgical instruments, and engine blocks. There are large-scale steel manufacturers in the country, such as Tema Steel and Western Steel, which utilize ferrous metals as primary raw materials. Mr. Obiamo observed that these companies provide direct and indirect employment for a number of people in the manufacture of metal gates, coal ports, and metal chairs, among others. He said notwithstanding the contributions of the metal companies to the economy, they continue to be deprived of the needed raw materials, and this compels them to operate below capacity. This, he explained, is as a result of the uncontrolled export of large volumes of scrap metal out of the country. In 1980, an administrative ban was placed on the export of the metals. However, in 2008, some flexibility was introduced to allow for the export of the metals, but this is being abused. To effectively address the issue, the Minister of Trade and Industry laid the LI in Parliament on the 22nd of February this year in accordance with Article 11 of the Constitution and to give effect to the administrative ban which has been in existence for over two decades. The regulation provides for the establishment of a scrap metal monitoring committee to oversee implementation of the law. The instrument which prohibits and prescribes punishment upon conviction comes into force at the expiration of 21 parliamentary sitting days.
That report was filed by correspondents Dominic Nwaji and Augustus Akwe.
The Ghana Journalists Association now has new executives. At the end of national elections held yesterday, Roland Afomoni of GBC was elected unopposed. The vice president went to Matthias Tibu, who polled 316 against Abu Isa Moni, who had 213 votes. For General Secretary, Dave Agbenu went unopposed, and Rocking Clotty, organizing secretary, also unopposed. Linda Santiago, who was elected treasurer, she polled 335, as against Rosalind Amu, who polled 193. For the public affairs position, Mary Mensah won with 364 votes, as against Yaa Edusei, who had 158 votes. Announcing the results, the chairman of the GJA Elections Committee, Benedict Asoro, entreated members to accept the results in good faith. The president-elected Afomoni expressed his appreciation to members and urged them to collectively help to build a vibrant association.
Chairman of the Election Committee, members of the Election Committee, members of the UC, distinguished voters, on behalf of my executive, I express my deepest gratitude to members of the GJA for the highest profile opportunity to serve. It is said that in every election, tensions rise and controversies are ignited. So it is natural for elections to be enveloped in the sort of controversy. But we thank God it's all over and the will of God has been made. It is an opportunity imposed by destiny to shape a new GJA which will respond to the professional needs and the welfare concerns of our members. A Malian proverb says, no one finger can wash the face. Indeed, none of us, especially the executives, can do it all. A collective will all help build associations which will be an envy of other associations in Ghana. We have a variety of areas, but time will not permit me to go into detail. But let me say that under our stewardship, a new nice DGA will be born. The second phase of the Press Center project will take off. We shall maintain a credible voice in the national discourse, and we shall not flinch from playing our role to hold people in positions of power and responsibility to account. By dint of will and the help of the Almighty God shall succeed.
You heard the newly elected president of the GGA after morning.
The chairman of the African Insurance Brokers Association, Dr. Feyi Soweyo, has challenged African governments to spearhead a legislation that is applicable to the African insurance industry. According to him, the African scenario is peculiar and legislation would enhance growth and capacity building of the insurance industry and also improve the interest of citizens. Dr. Soweyo was delivering a public lecture in Accra on the topic, The Insurance Broker, Your Gateway to the Insurance Market.
And now to the foreign front. Human Rights Watch Group says internally displaced people in Somalia are suffering sexual violence and other forms of abuse. It says the abuse takes place at the hands of armed groups, including government forces. In the report, women who fled famine and conflict described how they are gang-raped in camps in the capital, Mogadishu. Also, managers of the camps, often allies to the militias, siphoned food and other aid. Human Rights Watch campaign group says even though the new Somali government, which came to power in September last year, has made some impressive statements, it has done very little to change the situation on the ground.
China and Brazil have signed a currency swap deal designed to safeguard future global financial crises. The pact, first announced last year, will allow their central banks to swap local currencies worth up to 190 billion yuan or 60 billion riyals. They say this will ensure smooth bilateral trade regardless of global financial conditions. Along with being the world's second largest economy, China is also Brazil's biggest trading partner.
Pope Francis has shunned a papal apartment on the top floor of the Vatican's Apostolic Palace in favor of a modest two-room residence. The spokesman said the Pope is trying out this type of simple living in a communal building with other priests. In doing so, he has broken a tradition which is more than a century old. His decision reinforces the newly elected Pope's austere reputation. As Archbishop of Buenos Aires, he refused to move into the bishop's palace.
And now to end the news, the main points again. President John Mahama has, in accordance with Article 79 of the 1992 Constitution, nominated 26 more deputy ministers. They include Ebenezer Okletete Telabi, Ministry of Defense, Ibrahim Mutala Mohammed, Information and Media Relations, Edwin Nilante Vanderpoy, Trade and Industry, and John Abdullahi Jinapo, Energy and Petroleum. Mohammed Baba Jamal goes to the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development, whilst Jifagu Mashi is for the Ministry of Tourism, Culture and Creative Arts. Meanwhile, the President has commended the co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Bill Gates, for his immense support to Ghana's health sector. The President said this when he received Mr. Gates at the Flagstaff House in Accra. And Human Rights Watch says internally displaced people in Somalia are suffering sexual violence and other forms of abuse. It says the abuse takes place at the hands of armed groups, including government forces. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Naja Gliago in Accra.